as we're recording this, the Feather River is eroding the spillway of the Oroville Dam. And a fair number of people have asked me what I think about all this. And first, what do you expect? This is what rivers do. Rivers don't want to be constrained any more than any other being wants to be constrained. And dams happen. There are landslides, there are lava flows, there are log jams, and then rivers break down those dams. That's what happens. So you can't have 2 million dams in the United States and expect for the rivers to not break them. That's what they do. So I think that the freeing of a river, or the breaking of a dam, however you want to put it, is ultimately inevitable. You can't fight nature and win. And so what do I think about this? I think it's what we expect. And I think that dams kill rivers. And I think that the sooner that dams are removed from rivers, the better off those rivers and all who call those rivers home will be. And there's another level at which this is inevitable too. You know, I was raised a Seventh-day Adventist, and we were conservative, and I was very patriotic. And I remember reading something when I was maybe 12 or 13 that very deeply influenced me. It was a simple piece of paper with the title, The Trillion Dollar Rat Hole. And the paper was about all the money that had been spent on the military since the end of World War II, from end of World War II up through 1970, whatever year it was. And then just a listing of all the things that could have been done with that money, such as, and I'm making these examples up because this is, you know, I read this 45 years ago. For that $1 trillion, had it not been thrown down a rat hole, you could have had every city over, or every town over 2,000 people would have its own hospital. Every town over 20,000 would have its own university. Every town over 200 would have its own library, and everybody would have free college, and everybody would have free healthcare, and all these things you could have done with all this money that was wasted. And I think about that. That was very influential to me to recognize what a complete, from the perspective of even human well-being, what a complete waste the gigantic military is. And it's the same with modern infrastructure, that what do you expect when you will spend trillions of dollars on creating items that you hope to never use, like aircraft carriers or bombers or nuclear weapons, and you have basically a blank check for that, but meanwhile you have people dying of curable diseases because they can't get health care, or because you have libraries not in town, you have people who can't go to college, you have people in indentured servitude because of their college debts, you have failing infrastructures, you have huge potholes forming in towns all over the world. I mean, all over the country, at least. I had never heard of sinkholes in anywhere except for Florida until very recently. And now Brookings, Oregon had a big sinkhole. In fact, there's a road in the tiny town where I live that's been closed for months because of a sinkhole. And this is what you get when you the Oroville Dam is an expression in so many ways of this culture's priorities. First, you kill a river so that you can make money through agriculture. So the money that's made through agriculture is more important than the life of the river. It's more important than the life of the salmon in the river. It's more important than the lampreys in the river. It's more important than the indigenous humans who have lived with the river forever. It's more important than the soil. Somebody gave me a phrase just a couple weeks ago that one of the reasons that beaches are receding in California is because of dams, because one of the functions of a river is to deliver what someone told me this phrase, what they call sacred sediment, is to deliver this sacred sediment to the ocean where it's deposited on beaches and maintains the beaches. And this happened up in the Elwha River where as soon as they took out the dam, the sediment flushed down and then rebuilt beaches and rebuilt now oyster beds that had been gone for 100 years. That's what happens when you release the sacred sediment. So this culture's priorities were very clear that we don't care about anything except for controlling nature and making money and showing our power over the natural world by enslaving the natural world and turning it to the ends of the industrial economy. So that's one way that the Oroville Dam shows its culture's priorities. Another way that the Oroville Dam shows its culture's priorities is that they did a crap job of patching it a few years ago, and they can't be bothered, and they can't find the money to fix the things they build when there's still, once again, always plenty of money for modern surveillance, always plenty of money for modern military. So it's a perfect exemplar of this culture's priorities. So what do I think about the potential failure of the dam? Every dam needs to fail. That's what the rivers need. And that's what the soil needs. That's what the entire community needs. This way of living cannot last. And the sooner every river is liberated, the better. And I know that that is a terrifying thing. And I want to tell a couple stories about that. One is that if I lived under the Oroville Dam, I would of course not be there right now. I would have evacuated. And if it were my house involved, I would still recognize that the river is more important than my house. And the health of the river is what is always primary. And that's what's gotten us into this position that we are in, is the belief that we or our possessions are more important than the life of the biome. And that is a fundamental difference between indigenous people who, you know, I live on Talawa land, and the Talawa lived here for 12,500 years. Why? Because they recognize that the health of the biome is more important than the health of the individual, and it's certainly more important than their possessions. And I remember about 10 or 11 years ago, someone asked me, so would I want a dam to fail if it meant that someone I love died in the consequent flood? And I had to think about it. And then I was dating someone at the time, and I said to her, so, you know, somebody asked me this question, and what do you think about it? And she said to me, you damn well better have said that that dam should fail, because she recognized that the importance that her own life and my own life are not as important as the health of the river. And this brings me to something that I think is really, really crucial. About when I was writing Endgame, there was a hydrologist who got up at one of my talks and was really mad at me for saying that the dam should come down. He said, don't you realize when dams fail, it causes catastrophic harm to the river below. Even if you don't care about the industry that's lost, or even if you don't care about the humans who may be lost, which I do care about the humans who may be lost, but even if you don't care about those, it harms the river. And I didn't know. So it's like, I stopped saying anything about that for a while. And then I was doing a radio interview one time in Olympia, Washington. And it was a call-in show, and I'm just saying, I told the story, I'm just telling right now, and right then a couple people called in, And the first person said, yeah, you're worried about what dam failures can do to rivers. I got two words for you, Missoula flood. And what the Missoula flood was is 10,000 years ago, could be off by a couple thousand years, a huge ice dam formed in western Montana. And it held back the waters and covered a lot of western Montana. And then the waters behind it got so big that they lifted up the ice dam and it broke. And it sent water rushing down the Columbia River Channel. And there was more water rushing down the Columbia River Channel at that time than all of the rivers in the world combined. That's how much water was sent down. And I always get the numbers mixed up. It was either 200 feet high, it was a wall of water, 200 feet high and 60 miles an hour, or 60 feet high and 200 miles an hour. It was one of those two, I think. And it was a lot of water. It was big enough that it carried boulders the size of houses all the way down to Portland and then sent them all the way up the Willamette Valley. That was backwash all the way up the Willamette. Huge flood. And salmon survived it. Sturgeon survived it, and they're not surviving the dams. A huge flood. And what's worse is that there were something like some number. It wasn't one Missoula flood. It was 7 or 12 or 97, some huge number. There was some. It happened again and again as it kept freezing over and coming through. And they survived that, but they're not surviving dams. And another example that somebody called in to tell me was that when Mount St. Helens blew, there was a stream, I don't remember the name of it, that was not only had all the ash sediment come down, but it was boiled and it killed every fish in the river and killed everybody who lives around there. And the guy said that was what, at that point, 20 years previous. And he said, in all the places where the BLM hasn't come in and tried to fix it, but instead let nature do its work, the stream is in great shape. And it survived Mount St. Helens. But once again, they're not surviving dams. And so these people said this, and I started thinking about this more. So I called up some fisheries biologists and I said, hey, so if somebody took out a dam, would that actually be good for the river or bad for the river? Hello? Hello? They wouldn't answer for obvious reasons. And so I thought about this and I called them back a couple weeks later. I said, okay, so here's the question really. Let's pretend that civilization has collapsed. So the grid has gone down. And the dams are no longer useful for human or industrial purposes. Now, would you recommend, from the river's perspective, the community is going to come together to try to decide whether they should take out the dam or whether they should let it go until it fails. And they want your help and yours to speak for the river. So under these circumstances, would you recommend that the dam be taken out now or that you wait until it eventually fails? Every one of them said, now. And they all said that dams are a natural part of rivers. The problem is not that a dam exists, because dams, like I said early on in this talk, rivers get dammed all the time. But the problem is that there are 2 million dams. You're supposed to get a dam just now as there's a mudslide, and then the river fixes it. And then 200 years later, there might be another dam from another rock slide. Or the Shasta River was dammed for a few thousand years from the lava flow from Mount Shasta, and it eventually cut through. And they said every time a dam fails, all that is a big flood. It's nothing but a big flood. And that's what rivers are supposed to do. Rivers are supposed to flood. And so I talked to this one fisheries biologist from up in Olympia, up in the Olympic National Park. And she said she works with this one river that she just desperately loves. And the river is undammed. And she said it floods quite often. And every time it floods, she is heartbroken, because every time it floods, she cries for the fish, the trees, the salamanders, who are all killed in this flood. The deer who might get caught by the flood, it breaks her heart because they're all dead. There is tremendous loss of life in a flood. And at the same time, every time the river floods, she's really happy, because that's what rivers do. Rivers don't live in a channel. Rivers ride like snakes across the landscape. They dance. That's what they do. And that's what keeps the entire floodplain alive, because the river will come over here and deposit sediment, the sacred sediment. And then 10 years later, it will flood again, and it'll move down here and deposit sacred sediment here. And meanwhile, when it's flooding, I don't know if you know this, but this is pretty cool. It has nothing to do with the Oroville Dam, but I think it's pretty cool. Very, very quickly, anytime there's a flood, fish will dash up into the flooded area because that's a new food source. And so every time there's a flood, all the fish are really excited because, oh my God, this means we get to go eat some of this food. And then they come back and they poop it back into the stream. And this is how it works. But anyway, she said that she was overjoyed because every time it floods, that creates new habitat. So she told me this phrase, which is, whenever there's a flood, it causes short-term habitat loss and long-term habitat gain. And that's what we're looking at here, is the collapse of any dam anywhere is going to cause short-term habitat loss and long-term habitat gain. And that's part of the problem with, well, there's two problems here. There are many problems here. One of them is, one of the reasons that people are so terrified of dams collapsing is because this culture has to control nature. Anytime it can't control nature, it's terrifying. And that's not how it's supposed to work. That's not how you live with nature. You don't try to control it. You don't try to kill it. So that's the first part. But there's another part here too that's a very powerful metaphor, that is that we are often afraid of short-term habitat loss for the long-term habitat gain. I think about this a lot, that this is one reason that people stay in bad relationships, is because they're afraid of the short-term habitat loss for the long-term habitat gain. They stay in jobs they hate because they're afraid of the short-term habitat loss for the long-term gain. That's one reason. That's probably the main argument that people who are, the main argument I hear against bringing down civilization is because basically we're on this train to hell and we need to stay on it. And they're afraid of the short-term habitat loss to actually fight it for the long-term habitat gain that will happen. But here's something that I find quite inspiring. I want to say two things I find quite inspiring. One of them is, can you imagine the courage it takes for a river to leave its bed and to make an entirely new channel to send its life in a different direction with no foreknowledge of where that channel might lead? And my wish for all of us is that we had the courage of a river. And the other lesson I bring from this is, when I wrote my book Dreams, one of the questions I kept asking through the book is, why isn't nature fighting back? And I didn't realize this until about 2 days after the book went to the printer, but I realized that's a really stupid question, because the truth is that nature is fighting back every moment of every day. And what is the eating away? I mean, could you ask for a better metaphor for the earth fighting back, or a better reality of the earth fighting back? Then there is something, a friend of mine just told me this today, that there is something in that happens in this erosion that's where it's undercut, and so the water will come down. And this is why waterfalls recede, is water falls off, and then as it comes down here, it undercuts the base. This is why waterfalls will move backward over time. And is there a better, more beautiful metaphor for the natural world freeing itself from the constraints of industrial civilization than this dam, than this river, the Feather River, having the courage to undercut the chains that are holding it, undercut the concrete that is constraining it and killing it? And my great hope for the future is that the natural world can continue to not just erode, because when I think of erode, I think of like a wall with having just sand grit blown against it and slowly eroding over time. And this is not eroding. This is tearing and chomping and shredding. And this is my hope for the future, is that the natural world can continue to do this to all the ways that it is being enslaved and murdered. And my hope for the future is that those of us who care more for life on the planet than we do for industrial agriculture and the industrial system and the entire machine-based culture can join with nature to not only undercut, but to tear away at the very foundations of that which is killing this planet.